Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on what's been a really nice Monday. I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of pollen, but I mean, just very pleasant weather to be outside. And hope everybody made it through the weekend all right. Not the most fun weekend for Auburn sports fans. Let's face it, it was a tough weekend as Auburn men and women's basketball out in the first round in their first game in the NCAA tournament. And softball gets swept. Auburn baseball drops 2 of 3, but I don't really consider that a bad weekend against the number one team in the country. But still, a tough weekend for Auburn fans, and we're here to take your thoughts on that, on anything you want to talk about sports-wise. We're to the Sweet 16 now in the men's tournament. Two SEC teams, and they're the teams that finished 1-2, at least as far as Tennessee won the regular season. And Alabama was the second seed in the SEC tournament. And those are the two teams that are alive from the SEC. I mean, when you look at it, this is as highly seeded a Sweet 16 as I can recall. I mean, there's one double-digit seed in the Sweet 16, that's NC State, who ran one, through the ACC tournament.
Exactly.
So, and then a 6, I think, is the next lowest seed. So, a lot of things gone chalk. Sadly, it didn't go that way for Auburn. We'll talk about that and much more. Dan is down in Troy getting ready for the Troy women's first game in the WNIT as they host Florida International tonight. And we're very happy that Coach Don Dunn back with us in the studio. Don, how you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And you heard the voice of Brian Matthews, MauburnSports.com. He's alongside as well. B-Matt, how's it going?
I'm just excited to be here. Great to be on the radio with Don for the next 2 hours. We're going to have a good time today.
Matt, I didn't realize you hadn't been. That's right. You had. Yep. Don hadn't been in on a day that you were in.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yep.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, we'd love to hear from you. We'll open up the phone lines just momentarily. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390. Or you can text us on the Drive text box. And that is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcasts of The Drive. And the text number is 334-564-1840. All right. I want to jump right in here because I've heard quite a few, not just the preceding show, but I've heard a lot of people talking about, well, that loss Friday, which we will get into, and we can break it down quite a bit. And it was absolutely stomach turning. I mean, because Auburn had the game.
Yep.
Auburn had a 10-point lead with 7.5 minutes to go, and then just mistakes, turnovers down the stretch, missed free throws down the stretch, missed opportunities down the stretch, and Auburn loses a 2-point game to a Yale team, which Auburn much more talented than. But it happens. I mean, as awful as that is, it happens. Fortunately, it hadn't happened to Auburn since way back in the 70s when Richmond knocked off the Spiders.
Yes, I remember that one.
Knocked off Charles Barkley and company.
Yep.
Since then, Auburn had been able to get past the first game.
Yep.
They did not. But, I mean, you know, for those people that just reveled in Oakland knocking off Kentucky, it can happen.
Yep.
It can happen. It stinks. Look, it sucks. It is awful. But I am not ready. I am not one who is going to say, and therefore this season was nothing but a disappointment. I mean, the SEC tournament championship is not a nothing. And I can't help but, all right, I think I've I may have posted this somewhere, but I'm gonna let you know. Look, I am the old man. I don't sit on the porch that much, but I don't want you on my lawn. I can tell you that, especially when I just worked on it. But I do think that there are too many people who just expect to always win. Let's face it, the entitled generation where everybody got a trophy, everybody wins. Everybody doesn't win. At the end of the year, unless there's COVID or something like that, only one team is going to win the title in any sport. And, I mean, yes, it's disappointing. It hurts. Don, you've been a competitor.
Yep.
And a coach at the highest level, and it hurts. It hurts really badly when you don't win. But what you have to do is just suck it up and give it the best that you've got again the next time. Keep doing it again and again. There are no guarantees. Everybody is not guaranteed to get a win. It's never your turn. You have to, I mean, things have to fall right. You have to earn it, but you also generally need to get a break or two.
Yeah, you're right, Bill. It's heartbreaking. You put so much into the whole year. They a very likable team, great kids. They worked hard, and it just happens. But you got to give Yale credit, too. Just like that kid from Oakland, he was unconscious against Kentucky. But, I mean, now he's a national hero.
Yeah, Pulikaitis just, had the game of his life.
Yeah.
And yes, could Auburn have used CBM guarding him?
Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Would it made a difference had he been able to play? I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah.
But Auburn still should have won the ball game.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's like you said, Bill, it's tough. But I'm like you. You don't ever not enjoy and be thankful and proud of what we did in the tournament. That's hard to win the SEC tournament. You got Tennessee's, you got the Kentucky's, you got Alabama, and to win three games in a row, that's tough.
I know I'm guilty of this at times. Sometimes you focus more on the losses than you do enjoying the wins. I mean, I think it's very hard not to do that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I remember a lot of more of the losses than
you do the what ifs. It's like, oh, if only,
Yeah, it's tough. But, we take it hard. You know, that's why they call us fans, I guess. But I don't know. It's just you can't explain it. But like you said, there's only going to be one cutting down the net. So,
the thing it really hurts is you felt like this was a team that had a chance.
Right.
Really had a chance to make that deep run. Hey, think about it, though. 5 years ago, Auburn's an eyelash away from being out in the first round against New Mexico State when they made that run to the Final Four.
Yeah, their guard had three shots, the end to win it, and he missed two of them, and Auburn pulled it out.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm surely not telling everybody, it's okay, don't hurt.
Right.
But again, I really get it bothers me when I hear, well, the season's a total disappointment. The if you don't win at all, you're a loser mentality, that bothers me.
Yeah, and Auburn won its third SEC tournament championship, and I think it's 128 seasons of basketball.
Yeah,
and the second time under Pearl.
Bruce.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, that to me is really, really big. And it's as Bruce Pearl says, he made history again this year. And he's been here 10 years. He's the best coach in Auburn basketball history. And I think Auburn is really fortunate to have him and is going to do everything it can to hold on to him for as long as possible.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts again. I mean, so many things we'll get into it. I mean, we go ahead. We've got a few minutes before our first break. Before we do that, though, let's talk about some of the other things. I mean, the women, I thought they really struggled getting off to quick starts. Seemed like they always were trying to dig out of a hole, and they tried to do that, came back and made it close, but never could quite get over the hump against Arizona.
Yeah, watching that game, they play great defense. They get a turnover.
They really do play good
defense.
Go on
a fast break, and then they turn it over.
Yeah.
You know, that just happened way too many times. Yeah. And part of that, I guess, is experience and, getting used to the system and such, but you know, it was a step forward for that
no
program.
No question about that.
We'll see if, you know, they can continue to take step forwards in the next couple of years.
Yep. Softball, they just, they struggle to score. I mean, that's just the truth of the of the matter with softball. It's just getting some offense has really, really been a big problem.
Yeah, they lost three of their best hitters that transferred out, and that's really kind of made it a lot tougher for them to score. We saw Bree Larson come back here with Arkansas and
homer
hit a couple
in her
home
first
runs.
At bat.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. So, this is going to be a tough season for them, and we'll see what happens at the end of the season, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then baseball is 1-5, but it's been against two top five teams in the country. I looked at the series this past weekend, and this maybe this sounds like I'm going completely against what I was just talking about because the last game was a win, so maybe I feel better. But no, I think to be coming out of this series with a win in your third game after you drop 1-1 losses the first two games. You know, I mean, a lot of teams, you drop, you know, you play hard, you come close, you lose. You play hard, you come close, you lose twice. The third time, you get blown out. You'll see that a lot of teams.
Yep.
I thought credit to Auburn for Saturday being able to come back. They, you know, Butch has been talking for quite a while about needing a big inning, needing something more than just a two-run. Auburn hadn't had bigger than a two-run inning in a half dozen games. And they get the big inning against Arkansas on Saturday, and then they're able to hold off. When they get the two-run lead and Arkansas scores, Auburn comes back and answers with another run, and then they hold them off. And I think that's big for Auburn, for their psyche to have been able to win that third game and salvage a game in the series.
And I thought another important thing there was they went to Vanderbilt and played two non-competitive games up there, got run ruled in the first one. And then they come back against Arkansas, the number one team in the country at home, and they played three competitive games. You know, they got beat 1-0 by
you felt like they could have won the series. Right. They could have swept. I mean, Arkansas has obviously got to feel the same way. They're a couple of runs away from sweeping. But, I mean, Auburn is, you know, a timely hit on Thursday and Friday away from winning those ball games.
Yep, and Auburn scored, I think it was 15 runs against Arkansas, something like that, during the weekend. The weekend previous, Arkansas held Missouri to one run
in three
games.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so I think that's good. Auburn needs to beat. Auburn needs to get a win against Jack State tomorrow.
Yep.
It'll sort of be it'll be, you know, rematch time for Mason Maynard and Javon.
That's right.
Javon Hernandez.
Herbert Holtz will be starting.
Yep.
So yep.
So they need to get that before they head out to Texas A&M. Another
top five.
It's just unbelievable.
Ooh.
Yeah, and A&M is scoring a bunch of runs. They're a very talented program. But, you know, sometimes you can go on the road and surprise some teams. And we're into the third weekend. Texas A&M is going to see a 1-5 Auburn team coming to town. And, you know, even though their coaches won't talk about Auburn like that, there can be letdowns sometimes. It's just natural to happen. So we'll see if Auburn can maybe take advantage of that.
Well, I mean, got to like the first SEC start for Connor McBride this past week. After pitching so well midweeks, he gets the opportunity. And we'll have it again. Again, it's another Thursday, Friday, Saturday series because of Easter Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, I think this week, yeah, you're right, it is. And I think he was it the home run to the first batter of the game
or
the second batter?
Well, it was second batter.
Second batter of the game, yeah. And that was pretty much it for them.
It was. That was the only one of the game.
Yep. So I thought he did an excellent job, and we will definitely see him Thursday night at Texas A&M, I would imagine.
All right, we're just underway, and yes, we will now we'll get into the game on Friday, the basketball game on Friday. Love to hear from you. Now, and look, I welcome all your thoughts if you want to convince me why I'm wrong and how it was a completely disappointing season and nothing matters. Come on in, 334-321-1390. We're just underway here on the Monday Drive.
My joints aren't what they used to be.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon, 19 minutes after 4 o'clock. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Brian Matthews of AuburnSports.com, got Drew at the controls. And we have calls on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and we'll get things started with Jack. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Bill, Brian, Coach Dunn, good talking to you guys. Bill, I totally agree with what you just said, and I'm sure Brian's read a lot of the hot takes on the bunker. This season was a massive fail. You know, Auburn Athletics is a complete dumpster fire. You know, just ridiculous hot takes. But I'd like to hear you guys, your takes on what the roster might look like next year. You know, if you think it's a legit possibility the staff can convince Jenai Broome to come back, and you know, what they might try to do at the four position, and, you know, what point guard might look like next year if Aiden or Trey, you know, both come back or one of them decides to leave or whatever. I'll just hang up and listen. Good talking to you guys.
Thank you. Great hearing from you, Jack.
So they're going to come up with a package for Jenai.
Whether or not it's enough.
Or, you know, whether it works out, we'll see.
But he has that option.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see.
And then at the five, Dylan Cardwell is a possibility. He said it was going to take a week or so to think it through.
I just wondered, though, Brian, if Jenai were to come back, do you think Dylan comes back too? I mean,
maybe.
I mean, thing is, it worked really well with the two of them this year.
Yeah.
And,
you know, he is one of those guys that's kind of Mr. Auburn, you know.
He absolutely is.
Just so involved in other sports and supporting his fellow student athletes. I just think it'd be great if he did come back.
Oh, I agree. And at the four, I think Chaney Johnson is getting better and better.
Yeah.
I really think I think he really had confidence by the end of the year. Dylan told us a couple of weeks ago that Chaney was the best player on the team in the preseason. And I remember Bruce talked about him being the best athlete on the squad before the season started. Then he struggled early on. Came out, couldn't find his shot, and I really think that he may have started doubting was he ready to be playing at this level. But I think you saw him down the stretch. He's at times a little overly aggressive. Just got to be concerned about foul trouble. But I mean, he can do so many things. He's explosive. He can really jump. He's got a nice touch.
He does.
And he handles the ball pretty well for a big guy, too.
Yep. And what I like the most about Chaney is when his teammate went down, he stepped up and played the best basketball of the season and finished the season pretty strong there. I do think Auburn will look for a four in the portal. Not necessarily a definitive starter, but just a guy that can compete with Chaney and you know, work out how that position is going to rotate. We'll see. Mm-hmm. At the three, I think Chad Baker-Mazzara will be back. The kid they signed, Ja'Kai Howard, has been having a really good senior season from what I've been told. So that might be
I was wondering if he might grow into a four, or is he a three for sure?
I think he's a three, but because he's not a big, fit kid.
Right.
Right. And I think he may have that outside shot where he can play the three. At the two, I think Denver will be back.
I think Denver also will be
better,
much better next year.
But I think at the two and the one, I think you're going to see them pursue players in the portal and put a lot of effort into finding difference makers at those two positions, even with Pettiford coming in, who I think is going to be a good player as a freshman.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a lot of the teams, most of the teams in the Sweet 16, and you see experienced guards.
Yep.
I mean, look at your two SEC teams that are there. I mean, where would Alabama be without Mark Sears? And Tennessee's got three.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you see, and you nearly saw Texas A&M come back against Houston. What an unbelievable game that was.
That was incredible.
Yesterday.
So I would not be surprised if maybe one of the point guards doesn't return. We'll see. I can't say for sure.
I was wondering if both come back, if Aiden may be more of a two than a point.
Well, that's what he was mainly in high school, and I think the transition to point has
He doesn't turn the ball over.
Right.
But he's not the facilitator
that
you know would.
I don't
really
think he
love.
Had an assist in that final game. He may have
not.
Had one turnover, and I think he was 0-5 from the field or something like that. So it wasn't his best.
Yeah,
game.
The shot, he just never got the shot going. I mean, we saw it a little early in the season, and he just never could get it going.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of it again is confidence, and that guard to me is going to be the most interesting situation for next year. That and obviously Jenai.
But if you're going to oversign or have too many players, make it guards, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that's the position that you've got to be good in.
Yeah. So
it's like defensive linemen.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You got to have them.
We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. Your thoughts on, you know, now that it's been a couple of days, man, it seems like more than a week ago we were sitting here, you know, just a day removed from the tournament selection. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it? I mean, doesn't it seem like it's been, two or three weeks?
And I thought for sure we were going to be talking about Auburn, Connecticut this week. I thought it'd be one of those weeks. It'd be, a great week if it was, you know?
And I know that the coaches do everything they can to avoid that, but how can you? How can the players not be thinking about that? Don, how many times did you and the staff have to, when you're playing, when you've got a team coming up that everybody, Joe Fan to the bottom guy on the depth chart knows you're better than they are. You've got more talent than them, and you've got a big game coming up later
the week to try
to not look ahead.
It's almost impossible, especially now with all the social media. One good advantage, we didn't have it that bad.
Oh, you're right.
But now everywhere you turn, you're going to kill these guys. I can't wait to play Connecticut, blah, blah, blah. And it's so hard. And you just try to, you know, I wish I knew the answer. It's just tough.
Yeah, so I wonder, I mean, Brian, you and I didn't go out there. So, I mean, we weren't there for that not happy locker room after the game.
But look at San Diego State. They were also probably, we got to get to Connecticut. This is the rematch.
Yep.
Was it the title game last year?
Yes.
I think
it was.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah. So, but and then they're there. They're going to get another shot at them. Mm. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think that could have been part of it as well. Although, I mean, once you get it sure didn't look like that Auburn relaxed, or I mean, things just got really sloppy.
They did
once, when Auburn got that second 10-point lead with about 7.5 minutes to go. 334-321-1390. Jerry is up next on the Drive Hotline. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to check and say who does not have any more eligibility. Is that Jalen Williams?
Jalen and Leor.
Yeah.
Chris Moore.
No, Chris could come back.
I think Katie Johnson could come back.
I think Jalen and Leor are the only two that could not come back. So, yeah, Chris, Dylan, Janai, they could all come back.
Right. That's good news. I hope they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I wonder what the timeline would be. Trying to think, I guess, because all of them, it's not NBA draft declaration.
Plus, you can get in and then still get out. I don't know what the final deadline is. It's usually sometime in end of April. Is that right?
I'm thinking, April or middle of May.
Yeah.
We can look that up.
But I think some of those guys, if they have an extra year of eligibility and, you know, maybe it's not a good fit for them to come back, maybe they'll go ahead and hop in the portal here in the next few days or weeks.
I wouldn't be shocked. It's going to be really interesting to see, you know, what this roster looks like next year. I mean, because every roster can look so different now in these days of transfer portal and apparently, you know, no limitations.
Yeah.
For now, yep.
Yeah. You think, that sounds like you think maybe something, maybe.
Oh, I think eventually,
coming
down
the road.
I mean, if we get out of the NIL era and go into the
employee era,
then you're talking about bargaining with the players, right? Yeah. And then, hey, we don't want you to have all these transfers open all the time. And the players say, well, okay, well, we want this. And, you know, you just go back and forth until you work it out. But I think the transfers will be a big issue for the school side and the coach side whenever we get to that point.
I think that one of the things that Nick Saban and some other people talked about is once it gets to that, then you'll be able to sign multi-year contracts.
Yeah.
And that'll make it you'll be breaking a contract if you want to leave. So,
or what if you just put buyouts in them like you do with the coaches now?
I guess you could. Man.
I mean, it gets crazy if you think about it.
You're
how much has changed when I started, right?
Yeah.
Ooh. That's crazy.
334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. You know, if you got we're here for you. You can vent. You can let us know your feelings. If you disagree completely with us, that's fine as well. That's what we're here for on the Monday edition of The Drive.
And at ESPN AU. Q.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Don Dunn, Brian Matthews, Drew at the controls. We'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise? Yes, as painful as it may be, you can. We'd love your thoughts on the game on Friday in which Auburn goes down to Yale. 78-76. Yale absolutely blasted yesterday.
So not surprised. But no, yeah, that no, probably hurts even more, right?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, for them, it was huge. They won an NCAA tournament game. Mm-hmm. That was almost, the first time teams get to postseason and things like that, it's very hard, you know, not to just be thrilled to be there. And then they won. They won that first game, and it's like, man, that's the biggest thing that ever happened to them. And then they probably figured San Diego State, yeah, well, they're not as good as last year, but whatever. I mean, they came back to earth. They didn't shoot the ball as well.
No, I think I saw 1 of 11 at some point from three.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. One like that against Auburn, that's for sure.
No, I mean, but Auburn just, you know, there were a couple of things about that ball game that I am sure the loss of Chad Baker-Mazzara played a huge impact in multiple facets of that ball game, and one of the ones that was most obvious to me, Brian, was the ball did not move the way it had almost all year. Auburn had been a team that was getting 15 to 20 assists a game regularly. I mean, nearly
two-thirds. How many they had?
It
was 11. Yeah, it's about half of what they've been getting.
And they got almost half of those late.
Yeah.
Auburn at halftime had like 4 assists. It was, and they still led by 7. I mean, I felt like Auburn didn't play very well, and they led. But then they, Auburn all year long would get that extra shot. They'd pass it. Somebody would be really wide open. This time there was not nearly the ball movement. There was not nearly the player movement. And that's one thing that CBM, would constantly be moving. Now, I'm surprised we haven't had somebody call in and talk about the call on him. I don't know whether I would say, that definitely shouldn't have been a flagrant 2. It should have been a flagrant 1, but it was coming.
Right.
That was
put it in
coming.
The hands of the officials, right?
I mean, that had been coming all season long.
Yep.
I mean, because that's the kind of player he is. He's one of those players that if he's on your team, you love him. If he's on the other team, you can't stand him. He's one of those, just needle, and there's a shove, and there's a nudge, and there's a push, and he's always talking, maybe most of the time not in a language that you can understand, but he's, I mean, constantly, he's one of those in-your-face kind of just, and then, he'll do some things, and I haven't gone back. I haven't really wanted to go back and watch the whole game. I saw a couple of people post what they said was the elbow in the throat, and I saw a guy push. Was it before that, maybe?
I never saw it either.
Because I saw a little post on social media where it looked like the guy coming up court just sort of with his hand, like, pushed away, and it may have been near Chad's neck.
Right.
May have been. But, I mean, that absolutely would not bring about an elbow. And now you saw him pull the elbow up and really let it go on the guy. Mm-hmm. So there's no question that was a flagrant and was a foul. People can they can argue forever whether or not it should have been a flagrant too, but it's something that he had coming and it had coming for a long time.
You don't want to put that in the hands of the officials.
No,
like that.
Absolutely you don't. Especially, 2.5 minutes into the ball game. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Yellowhammer is up next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. Jumping right on that conversation. I know you, Bill, remember back when Barkley was playing for Auburn, and Kentucky came to Auburn.
Charles Hurt.
And,
yes.
And they put a guy in there who was a little used.
Well, Charles Hurt played. He was a power forward for them. He wasn't one of their big productive players, though. He was basically, a Dennis Rodman light, if you will, for them. A guy that was a physical. He was nothing. He was an enforcer. And, I mean, you know, a lot of teams have guys like that. But there was no doubt he was out to get Charles and get under his skin. And he did. It worked. And Charles was ejected.
Yeah. Yep. So, along that line then, I'm just curious if perhaps Yale's coach or whoever, the strategists, got together and thought, you know what, why don't we see if we can take out CBM? And it's just a speculation, but that's what happened. They were harassing him.
Yellowhammer, I think it's more likely that the Yale coaching staff said to the officials, hey, watch out this guy, watch out for this guy. And then, yeah, that they decided to goad him back, because Chad never would back off from somebody saying something. He'd turn around and say something back. And if there was a back and forth, they had to figure that they could get his fuse lit.
And they did.
Oh, yes.
It succeeded.
Hey, if you can do that, I don't think there are a lot of Auburn fans that would have been brokenhearted had Auburn been able to get Mark Sears hot up in Tuscaloosa or something, you know. So that's the way it is.
Yeah.
If there's a player that – now, I'm not saying you do anything underhanded, but, I mean, no, if there's a guy who you know – has a short fuse, and he likes to give it out, then don't back away. And you know, the worst situation you have is you lose somebody too.
Well, that was just my suspicion, and we'll never know. But I think that might be true.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. And if that's the case, then that's smart by Yale.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, guys.
All right, Yellowhammer. Appreciate the call. 20 minutes away from 5 o'clock, back to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Ty the Tiger is up next. What's up, Ty?
Well, guys, that was, I ain't gonna lie, that was almost as bad as Virginia game. About gave me the same feeling. I guess it didn't hurt as bad because we wasn't as far.
You weren't
along,
as close. You didn't have the ring right there in front of you. But, you know, no time, especially when you feel like you're the better team and you lose.
Well, just the potential that team had going in with the tournament, the SEC tournament victory. I mean, all of it, man. And being honest, you know, I mean, we can say what we want to about the refs, because I will say, you know, I think they were in the bonus with 10 minutes to go in the first half.
They were in the bonus. They were in the bonus with 13 minutes to go in the first half, and they were in the bonus with about 12 and a half minutes to go in the second half.
Yep.
Yes.
That, you know, I felt like that was a little – I felt like the fouls were out of whack. Like, you know, but at the same time, you know, we should have put the team away. We, like you said, we stopped moving the ball. We stopped going inside. We stopped playing Jalen, Broom, and Cardwell basketball that's got us here all year. We're up by 10 with
seven and a half. It was 7.5. 7:27, I think, is when the last 10 point lead.
Well, I mean, we were up by 8, you know, late in the game with 4 or 5 minutes ago. Maybe it wasn't 10, it was 8 or whatever. I mean, and again, we choked. We lost the ball game. As much as you don't want to say it, and as much as I love these kids, and I've choked in my life. I'm not coming down on them. You know, if you heard Bruce's press conference, this was sad because this was a good team. You know what I mean?
And oh yes.
He felt bad because he felt like this team had something, and it was special in my eyes. It was, but it just I just don't know. I mean, it got too big for him. Can't hit free throws at the end of the game. And you know, one thing you look at, okay, we won 26 out of 27 games by double digits. You know, when it got close at the end, I looked at my buddy and I said, man, it's going to be tough because we don't know how to win close
ball games. Yale looked much more comfortable, poised. Is the word, or poised. I mean, they really did.
Yep.
They looked like, okay, it's a close game. They've been in close games, and they'd won some close games. Auburn, you know, was was fortunate that they had won the last close game they played, but it was still a six, seven point win.
It was disappointing, and I mean, whether we'd have showed up versus San Diego State or not, who knows? I mean, that would have been, I think, a ball game. But you know, you gotta play, and you know, I know we're losing a lot of guys coming back next year, but you know, it sucks to be an Auburn fan. But there again, let's talk about next year because that's what we got now. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, like I said, Ty. I mean, that's, you know, everybody's going to be disappointed except for one fan base at the end of the tournament.
Yeah.
That's the truth. It's the sad thing. I mean, but it's true.
I will say I've got 14 out of 16 in my bracket.
Wow. So that's impressive.
That's very.
That's about
no
as good
idea.
As anybody, right?
I have no idea what I've got. I just have.
I know it ain't 14. Well, I can guarantee
you
that.
I can tell you that it ain't 14.
Hey, I got 14 out of 16, and the two I'm missing is Auburn and Bama. Woo! That hurts. All right, guys. Y'all have a good
day. All right, Ty. Good hearing from you. 334-321-1390. We'll get one more before our final break here of hour number one. Dak is next. Hey, Dak.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it's disappointing, man. I knew that if it ever came down to a close game, I was afraid that's what was going to happen. Our guards, we just don't have playmakers at the guard position. And you know, that in the tournament time, that's what you got to have, guys. You know that. I don't care how many big men you have, but, you know, your guards have got to produce not only in points and free throws, but spreading the ball around. And we lack that, all of that, especially in the second half the other day.
Man, I think that's a valid point. And I think that's the one thing that sort of held Auburn back the past several years, really since that run in 2019, you know. I mean, when's the last time Auburn had a...
since Jalen,
right,
you know.
Yeah. Had a point guard like him who could shoot and drive and finish at the rim and get a shot, right?
Yeah, and Chad, you know, look, we just like you said earlier, we've been fortunate that he hadn't gotten kicked out already. A lot of things that a normal person that's watching the game don't take particular care of. But, you know, how many times he's been wrestling over a ball on the floor and he digs his elbow into their chest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And did get called.
Yeah,
numerous times.
Oh, you're not kidding. I'm thinking about it when it happened on Friday. I thought, would that have happened if he'd been teed up at some point during the season? Because that wouldn't have cost you nearly like what it did. Maybe maybe something like that would have at least given him an idea. I better not do that.
Yeah, well, he'll have that to worry about all offseason.
You know about
against Florida. In the second half, he should have been called, and I wished it had been, so maybe that wouldn't have happened in this game.
That's a good point. And you know, here's another thing. There are a couple of other things to points that you made and one that Ty was talking about. Look, reputation has an awful lot to do with it. You don't want it to, but you know the officials know who they're calling. And Auburn Auburn has the reputation for being a very foul-prone team. They're a team. It's crazy because I don't think there's a lot of difference in the way Auburn plays defense than Texas A&M plays defense, than Tennessee plays defense. But Auburn gets called for more fouls because they have the reputation. They've been called. They've got rep. So you've got to know that they're liable to be watching you more closely or more ready to call a foul on you react to that and adapt to it.
That's right. And, you know, I don't blame the officials. We should have never been in a close game anyway to make that difference. But I tell you what was really telling was watching Alabama's game last night.
Whew.
And thinking back.
That was hard to do.
It was
an ugly game.
It wasn't called. It was. And the foul that was not called was unbelievable.
Man, their guys bleeding all over the place last night. Yeah, you're right.
That's absolutely right. But yeah, it wasn't a very good weekend for us, was it? But
no.
You know what we got to look forward to? A-Day? Hey.
That's right. That's right. That's next weekend, not this weekend, next weekend.
We'll definitely win that game.
I don't know about that. I remember Coach Dye's first year.
Yeah.
It was a tie.
Yeah.
Hey, when did they start charging for the A-Day? Not that it's very much.
Coach Dye started that to raise money for the library.
Well, that's what I thought. So I don't have a problem with it if we're still donating it.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Yeah,
still
I think
the case.
It just got. Yeah.
It's just like, oh, people are used to paying. We'll just keep charging.
Yeah, you're right. All right, guys, y'all have a good one.
All right, Deck. Appreciate the call. 12 minutes away from 5, we'll get to our final break of hour number 1. Come on in and join us. Hey, don't forget, we got Cooper McMurray at 5:30 today with our Tiger Takes as we move on in the Monday Drive.
This is Lee County Revenue Commissioner Ola.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final segment of hour number 1 here on the Monday Drive. And let's get right back to the Drive hotline. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I just want to say I just got over throwing up. the worst thing that could have happened in my mind happened, and that was what I thought was. I think I told you maybe the day before the game that I was feared that you know, Yale plays a pristine form of basketball and has wide open shots, and they run a pretty precise offense, and I didn't know that I felt that the officials were probably going to call the game tight, and they did. I didn't think one of our players was going to be thrown out of the game to start the game that early. But I didn't think he needed to be ejected. It was a flagrant, but I don't think he should have been ejected.
Well, I wish I knew the answer to this. My feeling is the officials knew to keep an eye on him. And when they saw him do something flagrant, I think they decided it was time to go ahead and take him out. I mean, I'm not saying I agree with that, but I really find it hard to believe that they weren't really watching him closely, because there'd been quite a few times during the season where, you know, the opposing team and players would complain to officials about Chad. So
yeah, the old Nick Fairley effect in the Iron Bowl.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, despite all that, you've got a 10-point lead with under 8 to go and have every opportunity. The thing that was the most unbelievable to me is Auburn having some of its better. The only two free throws that Auburn made in the last 3 minutes were Janai Broome. Janai hit both of his and played his butt off. He played great. But it was so surprising to see Denver miss the front of a 1-1. Trey missed 2.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Auburn missed 4 of their last 6. They missed out. There were 5 points that they had that opportunities to make. You would expect them to make 3 or 4 of those 5. Yep. They do. They win the game.
And how many shots did Yale make falling, you know, off balance, falling backwards, draining them? I mean, it's just one of those games,
I mean,
right?
A couple of times with Dylan. I mean, there was one that Pulikaitis made with Dylan – I mean, jumping at him, and the guy just shot it up where back in the old days in my high school it would have hit the beams in the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was if Trey had made that inbounds play at the end of the game, he'd have been shooting a free throw to win the game. But couldn't buy a basket there at the end.
No, you're right. That's where not having one and played that many tight ball games, I think they were rushing even more. They were. It was almost like hot potato, you know, got to get rid of the ball immediately. Don't, you know, they didn't just go ahead and make a shot. They just tossed it up there.
I think the ejection was a more mental thing than it was because you saw Bruce Pearl's the past few pregame speeches he's given. It's our 10 against their 7 or their 8. Mm-hmm. We're better as a team with 10 than they are with 8. So
and
I think
the next thing you knew, Auburn had 8, and then with Jalen rolling his ankle, and I was just glad that he came back in. He still looked like he was favoring it for a while.
I have a question for you. You may or may not know the answer. Do the teams in the tournament receive any TV money? I know like you do with the SEC package, they get TV money from the advertisers or from, you know, like ESPN or ABC.
I may be wrong on this, but I don't think there's any difference in a team that gets bumped out early than a team that gets to the Final Four as far as money.
The money goes NCAA and
right,
NCAA.
And then it goes to the conference.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's NCAA's all their money.
Yes.
But they pay for everybody to travel to the sites, correct?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I wish, in hindsight, I wish we'd have did less whining about where we were going and just set it up and focused
you're
a
right.
more on it.
I mean, Yale had to go farther than Auburn did.
And then, you know, he had to be presumptuous, and you can call it what you want to, but when Andy said that he'd packed for 2 weeks and weren't planning on coming back, I kind of gritted my teeth when I heard that, too. Like,
well, yeah. The whole team had to do that because they were going to have to go to Boston.
Yeah.
And there was just no way they were going to come back because they wouldn't be able to leave till Monday. So that was the plan for the whole traveling party, and they had to do it ahead of time.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call. Great stuff there, John. 334-321-1390. We need to get to our top of the hour break. Again, Cooper McMurray joins us at the bottom of the hour with Tiger Takes. Till then, we're wide open. Come on in and join us in hour number two of the Monday Drive.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. A star-studded cast here. I'm, you know, beside, you know, not counting me. Got Coach Don Dunn, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, and then Drew's at the control. Dan today is down in Troy, where the Troy women are playing their first round of the round of 32. They got a bye to the round of 32 in the women's NIT, and they're hosting Florida International. So he'll be back tomorrow, but we're having fun here on the Monday edition of The Drive. A lot of talk, obviously, about Auburn basketball and the sad way to end the season. 78-76 losers to Yale in the first round of the NCAA tournament out in Spokane. And the Tigers' season over now. We'll see what things, you know, how things shape up as far as roster-wise for Auburn coming up next year. We talked about that a little bit in hour number one. Before we... I know we're going to – I'm sure we're going to have more calls about Auburn basketball. I said – hey, I'll go ahead and repeat it. I said it at the top of the show. I am not one who is going to goes along with the season as a nothing but a disappointment because Auburn lost. It is a huge disappointment that they lost to Yale. And, yes, that is far short of where I expected. As a matter of fact, that's more than a couple of rounds short of where I thought Auburn could go. But it does not mean that it is nothing but a failure. The Tigers SEC tournament champs, and that does mean something. Years from now, I know there'll be people that still, and I still talked about it in hour number one. I remember Auburn losing to Richmond with Charles Barkley, but you don't, you know, people can talk about that, but they're banners that are hung for your SEC tournament championships like Auburn had. Something else I was thinking of in as we were talking in hour number one, I know that NC State made the run through the ACC and they're still alive. They're the lowest seed in the NCAA tournament now. But think about how things went for Tennessee after they clinched the regular season. They lost their next two ball games. They lost at home to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They lost in the first round of the SEC tournament. And Auburn, they didn't have time to really even... It's like, okay, you've got Yale. Oh, you won the SEC tournament. You went through that. You won the SEC tournament. You're the SEC tournament champs. And then you're going to go to Spokane and play Yale. Very hard to – I'm absolutely – Auburn still should have won the game, no matter what. But, again, 18 to 22-year-olds thinking about what it felt like with the confetti on them, cutting down the nets. And then hearing about the possible matchup with UConn in a couple of rounds.
Almost happened in 2019 team.
That's exactly right.
The first round was their toughest game until they got to the Final Four.
Yep. I mean, Auburn's, you know, who knows? If Auburn had maybe they'd hit a couple of free throws or Yale hadn't hit a shot, who knows? They might be on another run like that. But it happens to so many teams that there will be, it's almost always, UConn was an exception last year. Almost always, the national champ is going to have had a game where, we were lucky to get out of that one.
Had to make a big shot or stop a big shot or something happens.
Or a travel isn't called, or, you know, double dribble isn't called.
Yeah.
You never know. I know that it hurts, and I'm surely not saying don't be disappointed, don't be upset, but I don't buy the – it's not – when I hear this phrase, I always go, I didn't know that they reported to you. When I hear the person say, it's not acceptable, I'm thinking, oh, and – Are you the president of the university now?
Yeah.
It's not what you want, but everybody doesn't deserve a title. Everybody doesn't deserve, I mean, you feel like some teams that win it don't deserve it, but it is what it is, and only one team's going to be able to cut the nets and hang that banner that says they're the champs. And it sucks when it's not your team, but you just got to suck it up, get back out, put together the best team and plan that you have and see what happens the next time. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. You can text us on the Drive hotline, 334-564-1840. That is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor our podcast. And hour number two of the Drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. And let's get to the phone lines. Was it Jay getting us started? Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Great show.
Oh, appreciate it.
I will say this to the fans out there who says that this is unacceptable. I'll have to agree with you. Who do y'all report to? It's a basketball game. It's not life or death. These are kids. And kids are going to make mistakes. And sometimes we have to think back when we were 18, 19, 20, 21, and sometimes 22-year-olds when we make mistakes. And what the young man did, Charles Beckmazar, he made a very, very bad mistake. He paid for it. Should have been a flagrant one, in my opinion. It should have been maybe even a technical foul. It shouldn't have been a flagrant two. However, when I hear fans say, well, Bruce didn't do this and Bruce didn't do that, I'm like, I want y'all to draw a line, a demarcation line, before Bruce Pearl and after Bruce Pearl.
Well, the 10 years before Bruce Pearl, Auburn had the worst record in the SEC.
Okay.
If you add it all up. Yep.
So thank you. So before Bruce Pearl, while people lambasting the hell out of Bruce Pearl and a very good basketball player and a young man, Chad Beckmazar, before Bruce Pearl, Auburn basketball, with the exception of Sonny Smith, was non-existent. Let's just be real. With the exception of maybe Cliff Ellis, Coach Ellis, who did a fairly good job.
Mm-hmm.
But even after Cliff Ellis, Auburn basketball was not
bad. It was bad.
It was like the Isle of the Misfit Toys. You know, after Bruce Pearl, now he said, I'm going to bring some SEC championships. He brought in four. Okay, we came close to the promised land with a bad call, two bad calls at the NCAA Final Four. Basketball is a very lucky game when you get into the tournament. Teams that you think should win don't, and teams you think should lose win. It was just our day, unfortunately, to lose. When you're up by 10, you keep your foot on the gas.
Mm-hmm.
You don't miss no short shots like free throws. You don't miss no layups. You don't take bad shots. It's basketball. Coaches don't throw back. Coaches don't shoot. Coaches don't pass. They just put the five best guys who they think out there that can execute play. You know, I didn't like it, but at the same time, I'm not about to lambast the hell out of a kid and a coach. We won a championship.
pretty good season. Let's move. Let's look forward to next year, and let's cut down some more down there.
I hear you. Good stuff, Jay. Appreciate the call.
I think he had a good point early on. It's something that we don't talk about enough or get into a lot, but these are young people. And while it's the coach's job to try to, you know, develop them for the pro level and win games, maybe the most important job, and I think we've got a guest here who can speak on it, is just developing them and teaching them how to deal with losses and deal with making mistakes and, you know, try to develop them into young men that will go out, most of them out into the working world and be fathers and other things. And, you know, Don, I'm sure you can speak on that.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. The most important thing is, you know, how you react. Like Bill said earlier, you fight, you come back, you learn from your mistakes. You learn not to take a bad shot, maybe. You know, don't make a mistake by getting a foul, the technical. But you're right. The bottom line is you go to work every day. We're not with these kids every day. We're not with these coaches. It's a long, hard season. They put so much time and effort, and it kills those guys. Don't think they're not hurting. As fans, we're hurting. But we haven't been out there every day for what, 9 months or really year-round now. There's no time off. And the bottom line is you do the best you can, you play hard, and some days you're going to come out on top, some days you're not. But it's terrible when you lose. There's nothing good about it other than, you know, like Bill's,
hopefully you learn what happened, right. And so you try not to do that again.
Yes, exactly. But it's going to happen. It happens. That's why it's sports. That's why you play the game. And one thing I would, and I think we talked on this before, Bill, I wish they'd move the SEC tournament back one day. I think that would help the seeding because I don't think they pay any attention.
Oh, I don't think it's a Sunday. Sunday doesn't matter unless a team has to be added to the field.
Right, exactly. Like someone has no chance, like a Vanderbilt this year or a Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I like him or not, Calipari has preached that for years. It doesn't do any good if you win the SEC championship on a Sunday. I mean, it's great, and you better want to win it, and it's a great deal. But as far as the selection and where they place you and seed you, I don't think they even look at it. I could be dead wrong, but I don't think I am.
It certainly didn't help Auburn this year, that's for sure.
No. It almost looked as though they really hadn't paid much attention to anything over the weekend.
Exactly.
That, you know, if, and we don't know. I mean, people say, well, Auburn went in as a 4 seed. We don't know.
Yeah.
But it appeared that they were going in as a 4 seed, and they came out a 4 seed. So it's like, well, it doesn't matter. We already knew where you were going to be.
Hmm.
Yeah, let's see. There was something else that I was going to get to here. I know what it was. For those that, you know, that want to go, well, the season is just a total disappointment. How many seasons has Auburn won more than 27 games? Auburn finished the year 27-8.
Wow.
I don't have it in front of me, but I think there's maybe two or three. Right, yeah.
Maybe.
Yep.
This is one of the
greatest seasons of all time.
One of the five winningest seasons in Auburn basketball history.
Yep.
And, I mean, for those that have that, you know, I mean, look, that bad taste isn't going to get out of your mouth for a while. But, I mean, that's something you have to go, that probably is why it hurts.
Yep.
It still hurts because you feel like, oh, this team had a chance. And you don't always feel like that. I mean, even when you have good teams, you may feel like I'm not so sure how we're going to match up. The depth, everything, the way things had been going, that's where the feelings and the hopes were so high that there was a chance, and that's why just about everyone was looking forward to the matchup in Boston this week, you know, which never came about. 334-321-1390, that's the Drive hotline sponsored by Sky Bar, and John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I've heard this show. One thought I had, one member of the Seattle Auburn Club had a photo on his Facebook page of Bruce Pearl, I think along Press Row, just sliding into an NCAA official post game. And I think that's deserved. On a much bigger scale, I just as a fan, and I'd love to get you guys to weigh in on this, I despise the way basketball's officiated now. We've gone from trying to protect player and player safety, and we've completely overcompensated. As far as CBM goes, I don't understand why that's just not a common foul. I'll be honest. I would much rather watch a street fight than what they call now. And I don't know if you guys saw the Alabama game last night, but they had a player get a technical foul for throwing like a clipboard on the bench. That's just ridiculous. And now we're whistling trash talking. I mean, there used to be some physicality allowed in basketball, and we no longer have that. And it's even bleeding over to the NFL. They did away with a specific type of tackle today. I mean, it comes to a point, are we just going to put these guys in ballerina outfits and play touch football? It's just very frustrating. I would love to hear you guys get Dan Gavitt on the show and defend the flagrant one, flagrant two day, and put that in 2022. I just don't want to watch that.
I'm not sure I know what a hip drop tackle is. Do you?
No, and I coached.
I have no idea.
I
don't
clue.
Understand that. All right, how are they going to distinguish that from a regular tackle?
I don't know.
Or how, as a player, do you not do one if you don't want? I mean,
no, I don't know. John, I don't know if you heard a little while ago. I really feel like the call against CBM was something that had been building for a while, that officials knew that he's a guy to sort of keep an eye on because he's going to do some things to try to light players up. I'm not agreeing with it, but I think that sort of was brewing. It's a shame that it didn't come to a head before the dang NCAA tournament.
Correct. I think he's got a Rasheed Wallace reputation, if you guys ever watched the NBA.
Yep.
And just one final point is talking about this. I watched Mark Sears, and Mark Sears is a really good player, but he makes a killing at the free throw line, and he initiates a lot of contact.
Oh, he does. I mean, he leads with the shoulder. He's going to do it every single time. He's going to lean in, lead with the shoulder, throw his head back, and go up, and he makes a lot of those shots. But, I mean, yeah, he's very good at initiating the contact and then looking like he's being fouled.
And Auburn fans would absolutely love him if he played for this side.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got. Appreciate it, guys.
Good stuff, John. 334-321-1390. We need to get to our first break of hour number two. Pat, hang on. You're up when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
Attention, large.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 20 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Right back to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Pat. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. That NFL rule, I kind of understand it. I hate that because I always worry whenever you run up behind a guy, you grab him from the shoulders, and then you jump up and you let all your weight come down, and then you trap their ankles, and then your butt lands on their ankle, and it breaks ankles, and it tears up ankles. It breaks shins. That's how guys will come up behind, and they'll grab them, and then they'll just – immediately just flop their body down. Instead of pulling them down, they flop, and then their butt lands on their ankle. That's what they're trying to do. I think it's really hard. It's gonna be hard to do that, to stop that, but you can tell when somebody does it. I mean, I've seen, if you look at every injury back on an ankle in the last, you know, whenever, it's probably that about 9 out of 10 times. Anyway, I want to talk about the game. Okay, so you brought up something, and I was thinking about it. I actually spoke to Chad one night a few weeks back, and I told him, I said, look, someone's going to come up to you, and they are going to provoke you to get you kicked out of the game. And if you do, we're going to lose. And I said it not thinking about the future as much as just to get him to kind of don't get baited. You know what I'm saying? And I think now that I'm thinking about it, I believe that they said that Oates went to was their scout guy, was their advanced scouting. They said, the comment was made that Oates was in their advanced scouting, and he went after the game and went back there. I guarantee.
Yeah, now I do know. I did see a couple of shots and a little video of him going into the locker room after the game. I had not heard anything about advanced scouting, but it's not uncommon at all for coaches to call someone that they know that's played against a team to get a scouting report.
Yeah, that exactly. Happens all the time.
That would have been the first thing I would have done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say, hey,
yeah.
Look, yeah. If you get on this guy's skin, he will do it. He will do it. And so I think that's part of the problem. I guess what I'm What I'm more worried about, and the elephant in the room to me is, okay, just be honest. Nobody wants to talk about this, and it really bothers me. It's just kind of similar to the way Alabama got into the football playoffs. Okay, Alabama was number 19 in the polls. We were number 7. Okay, they end up coming out and saying, okay, Auburn's number 15, and Alabama's number 16. So they came out and they said what they believed was the truth, that Alabama was number 16 and that Auburn was number 15. So you're saying that Auburn is 8 spots worse than what the polls would say, and then and what the KenPom would say. But then Alabama, who's 19 in the polls, is three spots better. Fine, you put them in the 16th spot, but everyone knows that 16 plays one.
Should,
because
yes.
One gets to play the easiest team, and that would be the 16th team, not the 15th team, not the 13th team. So I just want to know how Alabama didn't end up playing in the number one spot, and how Auburn didn't end up playing play the number one team, and we didn't end up playing the number two team. And when they did that, and then they ship us out to Washington, of course that is going to get in all of our minds. We're like, how do we get screwed over? This isn't right. Then we see our rival, of course, our rival with two people on the committee. They get the special treatment into the easiest bracket, not the second bracket. Or I guess the second hardest team or the first hardest. They get the easiest, the North Carolina bracket.
All right, this is great. This is great, Pat, because I heard almost this exact same conversation the other night, and it came from an NC State fan saying, "In North Carolina owns the NCAA in basketball, so they put Alabama in their side instead of putting a tougher team in there." So it's funny.
Exactly.
This was before before Auburn lost. I heard, and I think it was an NC State fan, but they were bitching that North Carolina didn't have to play a tough team like Auburn. They were going to get Alabama. So it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean you're looking at it from the Alabama point of view, but for other, and I'm wondering why they're in that bracket. But there are other people thinking it was North Carolina getting a break and not having the toughest bracket.
Well, yeah, you could say that. But what I'm saying is North Carolina should have played the harder team, team is number 13. Why come out with the numbers? This team's number one. This team's number 15. This team's number 16. They would have been better off, in my honest opinion, is to go ahead and say Alabama's number 13 and Auburn's number 16, and let us all fit in the bracket the way we did, and then nobody would have complained. We would have just said, well, they seeded us wrong, but they seeded us the way they thought that we were, and then they placed us in the wrong spot. So it's almost like, of course, you've created this thing to where now we're like, why are we getting the bad treatment? Now we got to go all the way out to Washington, play the hardest team in the hardest bracket against 3 conference winners that won their tournaments. Are you kidding me? That was technically the hottest bracket.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have lost to Yale no matter what.
I got you, and that all sounds great. But you know what? It still doesn't matter. What matters is that's an excuse. Well, we should have won the game anyway. Well, what if we would have been playing a harder team to start with? I'm saying that's not a reason to kick out a player. They knew Chad Baker was going to do something, and that was pretty
flagrant. Maybe not kick him out, but it definitely was a flagrant.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. No, I'm just saying it was a perfect bad storm for us. It really sucks because I believe you're right. Our team had high aspirations, but I can understand why everything went down the way it did. It really sucks, but we got to move on. But I'm just saying that was the NCAA sticking it to Bruce Pearl. And somebody said that Bruce made a comment to somebody that the SEC really hates Bruce for some reason. And I think it perpetuates all the way up to the NCAA. And it sucks. At some point, that man is one of the best ambassadors for Auburn. I mean, it's just a great guy. I mean, he's just cares about people, cares about cancer. I mean, he's just a great man. And at some point, you know, lying about a barbecue has got to be over with. You know, in my mind, it's just ridiculous.
This goes way back. Goes way back before that. It goes back to his days as an assistant. And that's something I think that some people are just never going to let go. They're never, ever going to let that go, feeling like he turned on his own. You know, he did something. He went against the code or whatever, if you will.
Well, I think the problem was Chad was, in his mind, thought, if anything, that was going to be a technical one. And he knows, hey, I'll get my one, and then I'll play cool the rest of the game. That's the way he was playing the whole year. And I think he thought that was never going to be an ejection. And that's where, You know, you never let the refs have the final say. And that's what in softball and baseball, the refs seem to control whatever they want. It really kind of irritating, but that's the hands we're being dealt. But anyway, war eagle, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Pat. 334-321-1390. I guess from the way that you have all the lines blocked, that we're going to go ahead and get to the bottom of the hour break.
I just did it so we could get to Cooper.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring. Yeah, we've got our Tiger Take segment coming up on the other side, so we'll get to our bottom of the hour break, and we'll check in with Cooper McMurray with our baseball Tiger Takes when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. It's time now for our weekly Tiger Take segment brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. When you need legal assistance, call Zach. He's got your back, or find him on the web at alsolaw.com. And we are... we're very happy once again today to be joined by Auburn University first baseman Cooper McMurray after the Tigers come back and win game three against Arkansas, getting ready for a game against Jack State tonight before they head back on the road against another top five team. Cooper, it's Bill. We've got former Auburn defensive line coach Don Dunn, and then Brian Matthews here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Hopefully you guys are doing great too.
Yeah, we're doing well. You might take a wild guess at what folks are wanting to talk about today. Maybe not as much diamond talk here today. So it's nice to get a little talk. And I was early on in the show, I said, you know, you hate losing two out of three, but I feel like if you're going to win one out of three, To do it the way Auburn did there in game three, you battle so hard, you're playing the number one team in the country, you lose a one-run first game on a first-run homer, and that's the only run of the game. You lose a one-run second game when you're back and forth and there all the way. A lot of teams would have a tough time coming back from those two and then competing the way that you guys did on Saturday, and you had a couple of big hits. I know it was a rough Thursday and Friday for you there, but to come back with the RBI single and the big three-run go-ahead home run on Saturday was, I thought, huge. Really shows a lot about you guys, this team, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows the resilience in this group. You know, I mean, the first five SEC games were tough for us. You know, I think the most disappointing thing about this weekend was I think we're one hit on Thursday and one hit on Friday away from sweeping the number one team in the country.
Yep.
So I think it shows the resilience in this group, and it also shows that, you know, we're going to make you fight for three games and all 27 outs.
Yeah, no question about it. And talk a little bit. I know you don't like to talk as much about, you know, yourself, but baseball is such a tough game because you can feel like, man, it's easy, things are going well, the ball looks, the ball just is easier to follow, and then other times you either are crush it and it's right at somebody, or you just have a tougher time seeing it. It's something that a lot of fans may not realize. I mean, it seems so simple to, you know, just go out there and see ball, hit ball, but it's a lot tougher than just that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, baseball is such a mental game, and I think that, you know, had a rough Thursday and Friday against a great pitching staff, but I think it just shows that how much self-confidence we have in ourselves and everyone. In my personal opinion, baseball is the hardest sport in the world to play, so I think that being able to have that confidence and, you know, the guys in the locker room having my back, and we all have each other's backs no matter what. We know how hard of a game this is, and, you know, we're playing the best amateur baseball in the country and in the SEC. So, and Arkansas is a great program, and it was cool to have them in town and being able to compete against them. And, you know, obviously we wish we would have won two of three, but, I think that Saturday will give us some momentum going into College Station next weekend and tomorrow with Jacksonville State coming in town.
Oh, I agree. That's the other thing we were talking about. Again, you never want to just settle for one out of three. But if you're going to win one out of three, winning that last one after the first two were such tough games, and we talked about it as well, too. I mean, that sure, Arkansas can think that they were a pitch away from sweeping. You guys were a couple of pitches away from sweeping it as well. So you know you can play with the best in the country, and now you have that win under your belt, I think, which is a great mental boost as you prepare to hit the road after the game against Jack State tomorrow night.
Yeah, definitely. I think that I think this group is really close to starting to play really good baseball, and I think we got a glimpse of that this weekend after our poor showing in Nashville. But I think we're really very, very, very close to clicking and getting things rolling. So hopefully this week and tomorrow can help us continue that and continue help us grow and, you know, mature into the team that we want to be come this time or come a month from now and, you know, the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the things that Butch Thompson had been talking about was, you know, we just need to have that big inning, the inning where we get more than a couple of runs and your big swing sort of capped that six-run sixth. I mean, 5-1, you're down, and then you know, they put a couple of guys on and have trouble throwing the ball. They had trouble executing a little bit there with the pitches, and you made them pay for it with the blast over the monster.
Yeah, you know, I think Thursday and Friday, all their pitchers executed their pitches, I think, exactly how they wanted to, and you know, in that sixth inning, Mason let it off with a bomb, a two-strike bomb, mm-hmm. which is you know, I think it gets overshadowed with what he did this weekend. He had a heck of a weekend. You know, he can get on base any way he wants with a push bunt, a drag bunt, a home run, a double, anything. So having him in that lineup is very valuable. And I think coming into the sixth down 5-1, down 0-2 in the series, it's kind of tough. You know, you got to step up and, you know, show that you have some fight in you. And I think that's what I was proud of this group for on Saturday was the fight that we showed.
And the other thing is you love to – I mean, then they cut it to a one-run game, but you add another run and Will Cannon comes in and just shuts them down.
Yeah, you know, what Will did on Saturday was special, I think, coming in against the number one team. Needed six outs to win the ball game, and, you know, he was mature enough to not let the game speed up on him and, you know, just pound the strike zone and do what he does. So it's valuable to have someone like that in the back of our bullpen.
Now, as to the rotation, Connor McBride gets his first SEC start. I mentioned the homer there in the top of the first inning, but that was it. And I mean, I think he has shown that you know, you've got to put him back out there and see what he can do when you head out to a College Station.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's a mature kid, and he knows that he's good enough to compete in this league. And, you know, he shows it on the mound every time. He works a little bit slower than normal, but it's awesome just because getting to watch him do his thing. And, you know, he's gonna throw the ball in the zone and make you hit it. So, you know, it sucks we couldn't get him any run support, but you know, I was proud of him for how he settled in after that home run and continued to shove the ball in the zone. And really our whole pitching staff all weekend, you know. Alsip was great on Friday. I think it was his longest outing of
yep,
the year.
It was.
And then Joseph has looked better the last two weekends as well. I think his confidence is getting back up, and you know, it's going to be big for those two to keep doing what they're doing and continue to grow and get better every weekend. And even our bullpen, you know, guys like Tanner Bauman coming in and mm-hmm. getting the shutdown innings he gets. And then I think Parker Carlson has been amazing this year for us, and how he can control the game when he steps on the mound and the confidence he has in his stuff.
Yeah, and it had been a struggle at the plate really until Saturday, but you guys, we've talked about it with you earlier. I mean, I really like the lineup up and down. There's so many threats. There's pop up and down it and really good speed. So I mean, it's a lineup that I think just needed to sort of break out. And this is one where you're glad to be going ahead and playing tonight. Probably we're itching to go ahead and play, I would imagine, you know, yesterday or today.
Yeah, definitely. I think that sixth inning was a glimpse of what this lineup could do when we connect. And so now it's knowing that we can do it and doing it in the SEC against the number one team in the country. So I think that builds the confidence for us as a group, and continue to swing the bat well from Saturday on this week, and see if we can go down and win a series in College Station.
Yeah, of course. Before you get there, it's Jack State tomorrow night, and a couple of guys. I mean, Mason and Javon are going to be playing against their former team tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty bittersweet for both of them. Probably, they had so much success at Jacksonville State, and they're going to come in and want to beat us. It's a gritty group, and so we're going to have to play good baseball to beat them. And then I think Herb's going to start on the mound. Yep. Again, so getting off to a good start, and getting them run support as early as possible.
And I know Butch has talked about this, that for those that go, well, it's just a midweek game, winning the midweek games last year was one of the reasons that you get seated as high as you do. You can't take these things for granted, and they mean so much to these other teams that are playing, for Jacksonville State and teams like that. An opportunity to knock off an SEC team is huge. So they're really, really motivated to play it, and you guys have to play well to take care of business.
Yeah, we have to bring the same energy we bring to the field every day, and we're going to get everyone's best shot because of the name on the front of our jersey. So it's fun to go out there, and anyone can beat anybody in college baseball. That's why it's one of my favorite games of all time, just because of the competitiveness all around. There's great players everywhere. So, and I think these midweek battles show that across the country. You got like a team like Florida, who's dropped a couple midweeks, mm-hmm. and then they go and beat and win two series back to back in the SEC. I think it just shows that you have to bring the energy and you have to be consistent every day.
Yeah, boy, hopefully everything goes well weather-wise, and we can have something else. Talk about, nearly forgot about this, though. I wanted you to talk about the crowd there on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, it was electric. I think it was the largest crowd in Plains and Park history, and I think that just shows how much Coach Thompson's done for this program. And, Mr. Cohen coming in and being the AD, I think it's awesome. I think we need those kind of crowds all SEC games if that's possible. But it was awesome on a Saturday getting to win in front of all those people.
I wonder I wonder if John Cohen prefers you guys call him Coach or Mister. I mean, since he's now the AD,
I'll have to ask him.
Yeah. Well, next time we see him, we'll ask him that, because he was a coach for so many years.
Yeah,
that's great. Hey, Connor, I really appreciate it. Always great spending a little time with you. Before we let you go, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media.
My Twitter is CoopMC9, and my Instagram is McMurray_.
All right. Again, thanks for joining us. Best of luck tomorrow and on the trip out to Texas.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Hope you'll have a good night.
All right. That's Cooper McMurray joining us with Tiger Takes, proudly presented each Monday at 5:30 by the Alsobrook Law Group, on the web at alsolaw.com. We'll get to our final break. Maybe we'll have time to talk a little football with Brian and Coach Dunn when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
Trust Dixie Overhead Door to restore your...
Be a part of the drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday final segment with Coach Don Dunn and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. B-Matt, what's... what all's going on there at AuburnSports.com?
Well, it slowed down a little bit.
I thought
we'd be getting ready for the Sweet 16 this week, but that didn't happen. But there is spring practice going on. There is baseball going on. There's a whole lot of recruiting going on. Our man Caleb Jones has been working his tail off over there, talking to all the guys that come in. Auburn, I think, is up to 9 commitments now. They got the Ty Buster. Ty Buster.
It's like not tiebreaker. Yeah. It's Ty Buster. I like that. I like the name.
Pretty big offensive. I think he's a guard from North Carolina. He's another one of those guys that Auburn spotted a little bit early and got on, and I think they're really, really happy with his commitment, and we'll fight hard to hold on to that one. But yeah. We'll have coverage of practice. We'll talk to players Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Get a viewing window tomorrow.
Yep. We'll be out there for that and do our podcast Tuesday and continue to cover recruiting and, of course, baseball.
Still waiting to see Don out there at practice.
You will.
Okay. Well, that's good.
If they let me on.
This is all right. So this is the time they're headed. Really, it's the home stretch,
right,
for spring practice. This is the last couple of weeks with A-Day coming up next week. This is probably a time, Don, that I would guess you're battling a little of the, all right, let's just get it over with and trying to keep the energy going.
Yeah, it's hard. Spring practice is a grind. It's better than it used to be. Like we talked a couple of weeks ago. In the old days, it was 20 straight days of pads. But now, you know, we wouldn't have had anybody left. Everybody had gotten a portal. Those were still the things. But, yeah, I'd say there's probably some battles going on this week. They'll probably hit a little more this week, I would imagine, and then get ready for the A-Day the following Saturday. But, yeah, you got to keep them motivated. The nice thing, though, is they're not going every day.
Right. Well, as a matter of fact, one of the things Coach Freeze told us last week or the week before was Tuesdays and Saturdays are really the heavy days. Thursday is more a teaching day. Right.
Probably a correction and teaching day, fundamentals. And that's smart. I mean, you got to have them for the fall. I know you want to get everything in and you got to find out some spots, but I would imagine these guys are experienced enough to know who's probably leading for each position right now. And there'll be some more battles, and then in the fall, early. Yeah, but that's it's hard to keep them motivated this time of year, especially when when that weather gets up to about 85 and those.
Which it hasn't yet.
No,
so
they're lucky.
That's one of the things. Yeah. I mean, they're going to be done fairly early,
right? So they'll be able to enjoy the nice weather and the pretty co-eds walking around campus.
Yeah, I tell you what, Brian. I mean, we've been hearing about a few of the guys from some of the players we talked to. You hear about some of, I know you were mentioning to Don a couple of the young defensive linemen. Every time we talk to defensive players, they talk about Amaris Williams and Jamonte Waller.
Now, Don may not be too nice to him if he's out there with him, but he sure would talk him up.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's why you haven't gone out out there just worried that you're going to have to hold your tongue.
That's right. Yeah, I've heard good things about those young men. And like we said earlier, you have to have defensive linemen. I don't care what level of football you're coaching or playing, you got to have them. And the best teams have the best D linemen.
Yeah, and Malik Blockton has been mentioned by a couple of guys as well.
Like his older brother, he's got a really good frame, wants to be good, wants to be fundamentally good, and just goes out there and works his tail off. And I think Amaris Williams is going to be a special player too. He's got, Knicks level type athleticism and size combined with the right attitude and work ethic.
Those guys, none of those guys look like they're 17, maybe just turned 18-year-old guys.
No, and TJ Lindsey, I've heard great things about him and heard terrific things about Jamonte Waller. He's playing Buck out there. Mm-hmm. Not the tallest, longest kid, but can absolutely get after it and is going to have some really good moves there off the edge and help Auburn's pass rush, I think, right away.
A lot of the young guys are getting mentions. I mean, obviously Cam Coleman. I mean, he is the first guy. He is the first guy that gets mentioned when anybody's talking about young players. But some of the guys, the defensive linemen, the linebackers, we're hearing talk about quite a few of the young players out there this spring.
Well, a lot of focus will be on the quarterbacks, right?
Sure.
But when you get better at left tackle and you get better at receiver and your running game gets better because you move your left tackle to left guard and you've got a system that everybody believes in on that staff, right? You freeze
and
everybody, people together.
And everybody knows as well as believes it. Yeah.
Suddenly Peyton Thorne can get a lot better because not only does he have better players, but he also has more confidence in those players, and that's going to help them a lot. And I've heard really good things about his spring so far. Not to say that I haven't heard good things about the other quarterbacks, but I think Peyton's having a pretty good spring.
Yeah, that's really the only thing that I heard from Saturday is that Peyton really looked sharp.
Not surprisingly, a guy with that kind of experience. Coming back now, he came in the summer last year, didn't go through spring,
right.
So this is an important 4 weeks for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they always get better second year, and like you said, the staff all on the same page. And when you get better players, your quarterback's better, just like Brian said. Yeah, So,
and when you get better talent, it makes you a better coach, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes. No yes, donkey ever won the Kentucky Derby. and my grandfather didn't say donkey.
Yeah.
One thing real quick, Bill. I don't know. I'm sure you saw where we lost a great Auburn man, Frank Ogle.
Oh, yes, away. Yes. Well, I'm sorry we haven't mentioned that.
With everything else going on, and Donna cleaned his teeth and his wife and just loved him to death.
Yeah,
and
Frank, a great guy. What a great guy. Battling ALS for quite a while. Great guy. One of Coach Dye's
first
close confidants.
Yeah, what a character.
Yeah, no
he
question.
He had some stories.
Whoa. Yes, he did. Brian, before we're out of here, how can everybody keep up with everything all you guys are doing?
Appreciate it. We'll continue to crank out the content all week. And you can check us out at auburnsports.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter/X and Threads at BMATAU.
All right, Don, thanks a lot for coming in. We'll see what Dan's schedule is. If they win, then they'll have another game coming up in a few days. Don't have any idea where it will be. So,
right.
It's great having you in.
Thank you.
I'll always enjoy that.
Thank you.
Yeah, Brian, and I'll see you tomorrow over at the interviews, I guess.
I will be there. Yep. It should be fun.
All right. And hopefully Drew will be back to run everything tomorrow because it helps when Dan and I aren't having to try to do that. All right. We are out of time here on the Monday Drive. Thanks for all the calls. We appreciate that. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.